Live from the Civic Media World Headquarters in Madison, Wisconsin, it's the Todd Albaugh Show. And now, pursuing truth wherever it may lead, here's your host, Todd Albaugh.
Good morning across the Civic Media Radio Network and streaming live on the World Wide Web via the Civic Media app. This is the Todd Albaugh Show for Monday, the 2nd of January, 2023. Welcome back in a special Rose Parade edition of the show. If you're joining us on Twitter or Facebook, you can see we are dressed in our finest Rose Parade attire. Some roses around us here. We are happy to have you along. Starting at 9:30, we'll be joined by my lovely and talented sister, Heather Galloy, as she will join us as we will preview the Rose Parade. And then at 10 o'clock, we invite you to join us for a Rose Parade watch party. Chances for you to win tickets to next year's Rose Parade if you submit a photo or a video of how you're watching the Rose Parade. Gonna have that. We've got that up on our social already. You can take a look at that. And also some very exciting news from Civic Media as well and the Tournament of Roses, as we have additional ways you can be at the Rose Parade yourself next year. So stay tuned.
That's pretty exciting.
It's exciting. I'm telling you, candy out at the Tournament of Roses could not be more fantastic. The director of communications for the Tournament of Roses, Candy, worked with me last week, gave us permission to do this show today, and also gave us a couple of nice prizes. So we'll be talking more about that at the 9:30 hour this morning. Mr. Aaron Zommer is our producer, engineer, all-around great guy. Welcome to hour number two. I like this. I like this vibe.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a lot of fun. And I will say, there is one thing you said so far that's incorrect. You said, we are here in our Rose Parade finery. I am most definitely not. I'm just wearing a t-shirt, and I didn't shower today, not going to lie. I woke up too late because I haven't been waking up at 3:45 like I need to
right?
for this.
I hear you. I haven't been sleeping, quite frankly. I think I got 5 hours of sleep last night, which is a lot. I've been sleeping for 2 or 3 hours a night with this goofy post-COVID and sinus infection coughing.
Sinus infections are just the worst. Like, I think I only had one, but yeah. My youngest sister gets them all the time. And when I had my one, I was like, how do you do this? This is just miserable.
I've had the misfortune of having them most of my life. And they're not fun. But this one, I couldn't tell because it came on during my COVID recovery. And so it all kind of meshed together. But yes, back on the road to recovery. Great to be back in the studio and great to be back on the program with all of you today. We're going to take a look at some more news headlines, some politics and news Wisconsin headlines we're going to be watching in the year ahead in 2023. And then at 9:30, we'll begin our special coverage of the Rose Parade 2023 presented by Honda right here on the Civic Media Network. But first, to look at weather, it is not going to feel very much like Southern California, Pasadena. Today across the state of Wisconsin, as we have numerous warnings and winter watches out for you today. The most significant of one is up in Amory in Lake Eyre Radio Land in northwest Wisconsin today, where there is a winter storm warning in effect until midnight tonight. A winter storm warning expected with heavy snow. Generally, 6 to 10 inches are expected in the Amory listing area, with isolated amounts of over a foot possible. Elsewhere, winter weather advisory is in effect for areas that will see a wintry mix and less snow and a hazardous weather outlook as well. But for Amory, that winter storm warning may be up to a foot of snow in localized areas before it's all said and done. And then tomorrow, on Tuesday, snow continues with freezing rain, a high near 31 tomorrow, wind gusts as high as 30 miles per hour. The good news is most of the snow is going to be of the heavier type tonight and today, so perhaps less of the blowing and drifting with those high winds, but still, it will certainly have an effect. And then by Wednesday, a 50% chance of snow as well, but only a less than an inch of possible in Amory on Wednesday. For the Wausau listening area today, Bull Falls Radio expect a high near 30 degrees. There is a winter weather advisory out, likely resulting in ice accumulations on flat and elevated surfaces, including roadways, sidewalks, and parking lots. Hazardous driving conditions are likely to develop later tonight and into tomorrow morning. Then for tomorrow on Tuesday, snow possibly mixed with freezing rain, a high of 33 in the Wausau area tomorrow. Only about less than an inch of accumulation possible, but it could get very dicey with that freezing rain on top of any snow that's fallen. And then for Wednesday, a 50% chance of snow in Wausau and a high near 30 degrees. In southwest Wisconsin, WRCE land near Richland Center, a high near 35 degrees. A hazardous weather outlook in effect for today. A wintry mix on tap, then changing to rain tonight. Light icing with minor snow accumulations. But again, particularly some of those lesser traveled roads could get very slick. So be aware of that. Then on Tuesday, rain mainly before 1 p.m., a high near 42. Chance of precipitation 100% in southwest Wisconsin tomorrow. And Wednesday, snow likely. Accumulations of 1 to 2 inches on Wednesday. So, see, that is part of the reason, Aaron, that they started the Rose Parade. All this history, things you did not know today on the Todd Allball Show. These folks out in Pasadena, many of whom were from the Midwest, they wanted to try to figure out how to bring tourism to Southern California. And they said, well, the conditions in late December, early January in the Midwest are not particularly great, such as today and tonight and tomorrow. So wouldn't it be nice if people just came out in the sun and smelled fresh-cut roses and chilled out?
Well, they figured it out.
The answer to that, by the way, is yes, it is. We're going to take a break, come back with some more news headlines for 2023, what we're going to be watching, and then our special coverage of the Rose Parade 2023 presented by Honda starting at 9:30. Stay with us. You're listening to the Todd Allball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. Nicely done. On the Civic Media Radio Network, we need a little sunshine today, right? It's going to be snowy across much of our listening area across the state of Wisconsin and northern Wisconsin. A winter storm warning in effect, up to 12 inches of snow when all is said and done. A wintry mix in Wausau, Bull Falls Radio, and down in News in the Center, WRCE. Mostly rain, perhaps a little freezing rain and drizzle, so a hazardous weather outlook there. So be careful wherever you are going. Rose Parade always makes me feel better. That always is a good mood. And of course, usually it is on the 1st, right? That's usually, but there has been a long-standing rule of the Rose Parade, Tournament of Roses, that when the 1st falls on a Sunday, they have the event on the 2nd, which is what's happening today. Now, of course, in more recent times, that's been driven largely by the NFL. Is the NFL, the TV rights, they do not want to give that up for the Rose Bowl activities, per se. So we are happy to celebrate it. I know many of you are home today. Lots of folks who are public employees, people who work in government, people who work in banks, have the day off today. So we are glad that you are spending perhaps the last day of your Christmas or holiday vacation with us this morning.
I do have one comment. You mentioned the NFL and their commercial habits. Did you watch the Packer game yesterday?
I did watch most of the Packer game, yeah.
Me too. It was an interesting game to watch, that's for sure. There were a lot of times where I looked down for a second, take a sip of water, and look back up, and I'm like, wait, what? Did they just run 105 yards and get a touchdown right out of nowhere?
Nixon got a 105-yard return.
But anyway, my point in bringing it up is, how do you feel about the commercials in football? They're pretty bad. There are all these times where they have a split screen now.
Oh,
half
the screen is
a commercial. And you get the audio from the commercial.
Right.
The other half is the game, and the game screen is also smaller than the commercial. So not only is it split in half, I feel like they're just going to start doing that with the whole game, honestly, at this point.
Yeah, I think I know in soccer that happens a lot because there really aren't, other than injury timeouts or what, other than like the NFL, like American football, for football, soccer, we call it in the U.S., is a continually running clock. And so I know, having watched a lot of soccer games on Univision and other places, they'll run the ad along the bottom or simultaneously while the game is going on. But yeah, I think you're right. I find it slightly annoying. But again, as Jack O'Neill used to tell me in Broadcasting 101 at Platteville, it all comes down to the dollar sign.
It does. But with with World Football, they also do the whole ads on the jerseys, ads all around the stadium and all that. And it's just so much less disruptive.
Right.
Not to bring it around to that again. It's just I don't watch a lot of American football. And when I do, I find that very annoying. It's just
you want constantly. You're telling me you want a pure game. You don't want all the commercialization. At least not yet.
Like, I understand you need it, but can you make it not every minute?
But that's an interesting point because you're right. In football, we call it soccer around the world. You're right. There are logos for businesses, for corporations all over their uniform, their jerseys, along the sides of the stadium. It's everywhere. So it's interesting, right? The American take is, oh my gosh, that was sacrilege. You don't want those pristine green and gold uniforms. You can't put a Coca-Cola logo on that. That would destroy the integrity of the game.
You know what else destroys the integrity of the game? Covering up CTE for who knows how many years.
Yeah, well, that's true. That's a whole other kettle of fish right there.
I know.
You're exactly right. But yeah, but yet, they're fine with putting these commercials over the screen at the same time as a break or a lull of the game. So yeah, it's a very... Aaron's on the soapbox this morning.
I know it's a big tangent.
This really ticked you off. I can tell. It got under your skin.
Yeah, yesterday it wasn't too bad, but just thinking about it, the concept in general, it was bad, but I didn't care that much yesterday. But today it's bugging me more after the fact.
But here's some good news. If you're a Packer fan, and really who isn't? Well, there are people who aren't. But the Packers, after being 4-8 just a few weeks ago, are on the verge of making the playoffs. As they won again yesterday in fine fashion against the Minnesota Vikings. And now it is a one-game playoff. Win and you're in. They host the Detroit Lions. They have not set the game time yet. I believe they're waiting to see who wins tonight or announce it tonight on Monday Night Football. But the Packers will play either Saturday or Sunday this week against Detroit at Lambeau Field on the frozen tundra of Lambeau Field. And whoever wins that game is going to be in the playoffs. Packers got a chance. I gotta say, after being frustrated, they're looking pretty darn good. So we shall see. Can Aaron Rodgers pull a little magic? Should be a fun and interesting game this weekend for the Pack. A little time left here before we get to our Rose Bowl coverage this morning. The Rose Parade coverage. I apologize. Going to talk about a couple more issues here. If you want to call in and join us, do so. Area code 715-388-7155. Again, area code 715-388-7155. One more time for you. 715-388-7155. Call us and tell us what you think should be done with the $6.6 billion state surplus in the state budget. Talking about that with a retired educator in Southwest Wisconsin last hour, making the point that from broadband to the arts, classroom technology, our roadways, our infrastructure in the rural parts of the state, a lot of great places you could spend that $6.6 billion. So coming up also in things we're going to be covering and watching in 2023, the race for the Wisconsin Supreme Court. And we haven't spent a lot of time on this show talking about it. And that is going to change in the coming days and weeks. Because whoever wins this race, either a conservative or a liberal / progressive, whichever words you like to use, that is going to determine the control of the Wisconsin State Supreme Court. And could mean a lot of things happen and a lot of things don't happen depending upon who wins that race. For instance, if you've been frustrated by the gerrymandering in the state, the redrawing of the political boundaries of the assembly and senate districts, and like me, you feel that they were done for extraordinary political purposes, and you think that the maps should be more fair, well, then you would want to vote for a progressive choice for the Wisconsin State Supreme Court. Because contrary to what a lot of people say, I mean, there is, I was going to say virtually, I'll say there's no way, no way that these maps are going to be changed by legislation in the next 10 years. Because Republicans have carved out a majority for themselves. So really the only realistic way to change the maps, even a little, is by having one of the two progressive candidates, either Everett Mitchell or Janet Protasiewicz, elected, which means that a lawsuit can be brought and lay out why, by law, these maps don't add up, why they need to be changed legally. And I want to make that clear. This is not a let's legislate through the bench type of thing. Oh, we didn't get our way, so we're going to get a judge that tells us that we're right. If you apply the law, and we'll get into this on other shows, if you apply the law, it's clear that the current maps are illegal. And so we need a Supreme Court in the state of Wisconsin that looks at the law as it is written and applies the law. And if you do that, I am confident that the state Supreme Court would order or actually redraw the lines themselves and perhaps, hopefully, make some of our state assembly and senate districts more fair and help us to get a more centrist candidate and elected official in some of these districts. There are two conservatives and two progressives running for state Supreme Court. The two conservatives are Jennifer Darrow, who is the judge in the case of the Waukesha parade murderer, and then Daniel Kelly, a former state Supreme Court justice, arch-conservative who was beaten and is now back. On the liberal slash progressive side, there is Everett Mitchell from, I believe, Dane County, and Judge Janet Protasiewicz, or as Matt Flynn likes to call her, Judge Janet. I love listening to Matt Flynn, by the way. Matt Flynn direct here on Civic Media at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. Just a no-nonsense guy, understands the law as an attorney, former chairman of the Wisconsin State Democratic Party. He just calls it out.
Yeah, I produced his show when it was in the morning for a little while
there.
Did you?
Yeah.
And that was definitely fun.
He's fantastic. And I love he'll just say, you know, Judge Janet Protasiewicz, or we like to call her Judge Janet. So yes, Judge Janet Protasiewicz, and that's how you say her name, Protasiewicz. And so if you get either Everett Mitchell or Janet Protasiewicz elected coming up here in the spring, then there's a chance we could have an actual more fair, I was going to say fairer, but a fair court. And there are lots of other implications in state law as well. So we're going to invite these folks on, have some discussions, invite your calls, tell us what you're thinking. I drove out, like I said, I laid low all weekend, except yesterday I did drive out to Richland Center to see Mom for a minute. And I was struck, very rarely do you see a lot of grassroots campaigning for state Supreme Court. I was struck how many Judge Janet Protasiewicz signs I saw up already. And remember, there's going to be a primary because this is technically a nonpartisan position, meaning that no one runs technically as a Republican or a Democrat. And so when there are four candidates running, the general election is only between two. So these four people are going to be all together in the primary: Darrow, Kelly, Mitchell, and Protasiewicz. And so the top two vote getters out of those four will go on and face one another in the spring general election in Wisconsin. There are a couple of folks who think that, well, maybe both progressives could get through and that'll be that. I think that's highly unlikely. I think the conservatives, Republican Party, will not let the conservative voters fall asleep. And so the likelihood it will be one conservative and one progressive facing each other in the spring. But we've got to get out there and get involved. We got to learn more about them. We're going to do that on this show in the coming days and weeks. The state Supreme Court race is certainly something that we're going to be watching in 2023. We are going to be watching the 2023 Rose Parade presented by Honda with all of you. And we're going to have my sister, Heather Galloy, join us after this as we begin our coverage. After this break, stay with us. You're listening to the Todd Allball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. To the 2023 Rose Parade presented by Honda here on the Todd Allball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. I am Todd Allball. Welcome to this very special and exciting broadcast on the 2nd of January. And I get to say hello to my wonderful and talented sister, Heather Galloy, who is joining us to bring us home on the Rose Parade. Happy New Year, Heather.
Good morning and happy new year. Welcome to 2023, huh?
Isn't this fantastic?
Yay!
Look at you.
Nobody could get any better.
We didn't even plan this. I said we're wearing like alternate uniforms. If you're looking at us on Facebook or Twitter, I have on a red shirt and a white jacket. Heather has on a white shirt and a red jacket. You have your beautiful Christmas tree. You're coming to us live from Eau Claire at your home there. You have the beautiful roses behind you. I have some roses here. We are set to go on a rose parade for 2023.
We are ready. Prepared and ready. I love it.
And I'm glad you did some homework. Heather has done a lot of homework on many of the units that we're going to be talking about today. And again, we're joining you today. Going to talk about, give you some background. Heather and I have both had the opportunity and privilege to be at the Rose Parade. We're going to talk about it. And then at 10 o'clock, we invite you to turn on whichever channel that you want to watch the Rose Parade on. It's on ABC. It's on NBC. It's on Univision, RFD TV, wherever you like to watch the parade. Watch it with us. We'll talk about each of the floats and marching bands and units as they go through, give you a little bit of perspective on it as well. So that's kind of the lineup for this morning. Heather, give us to kick off this morning, give us your kind of best memory of having been there at the Rose Parade.
Wow. I don't know that there's one best memory. I feel like the whole experience was just phenomenal. I think the idea of going... I'm always a person that loves the behind the scenes.
I know, right?
Like I love the Facebook feeds here. Mm-hmm. Like the idea of you get to see how the sausage is made. Right. So the idea of going to the big warehouses and the big barns where they have the floats and see how they're put together. It's fascinating for me to see those details and how tiny when you see them that close up and to see the minuscule pieces of flowers and seeds that they're putting on there. And then you see it on TV and it just looked like they've painted it.
Right.
And it looked beautiful and phenomenal. But to understand the minutiae that goes into it to me was probably the most fascinating.
So I had the privilege of being there in the for the 1999 Rose Bowl. I was at the parade and then at the game when Wisconsin played in that game. Then you and I and your lovely husband, my brother-in-law, Mike, and our wonderful mother, Linda, the four of us went and were there for the 2012 Rose Bowl Parade when Wisconsin played in that game. And, of course, our neighbor from Richland Center, Brady Ewing, was on the team at that time. That was super exciting to see the Ewing family there and all the folks from Richland Center in Wisconsin in 2012. And then I got to be there a couple years ago for the 2020 Rose Bowl Parade. So we've both had experiences there. Take us back to 2012 when you and I went out with Mom and Mike. You had not been there before for the parade. What was your first kind of impression just seeing it live?
First of all, how early you have to be there.
Right?
Right?
Tell people how early you have to be there.
In the dark. That's when you get there. So I don't, I mean, because again, living in the Midwest, by the time the parade is on, it's like mid morning, right? No big deal. But obviously in California, it is dark. You literally traverse there in the dark. Then of course you can't just park and get out. And I think small town parades, right? You just park and get out and see the parade. No, you have to go park way far away and either walk or take other transportation to get to the actual parade route. And then we fortunately had tickets, so we didn't have to camp out. So I'm thankful for that because I know people do that as well. But to be able to find where our seats were, and we had lovely little grandstand seats, and it was fantastic. But again, to navigate through that and see that takes some time and effort. But then just to see all of these floats, and again, to see them lined up before the parade starts, and when it happens, and to see the crowd reaction to all of these floats, and it's exhilarating. It's just so neat.
It is fantastic. And Heather's right. We celebrated, we might have stayed up till 12 o'clock to ring in the new year. Then we went to bed, but we were up at what, maybe 3 o'clock, something like that in the morning to kind of get showered and get ready. And then to drive. So if you haven't been there before, the Rose Bowl Stadium where the game is played, if you're going to go to both the game and the parade, it's a little bit of a hike. I don't know if I'm not sure if it's a half or three quarters of a mile from the Rose Bowl Stadium to the main area where we sat for the parade. But you kind of, it is a little bit of a hike. But we parked near the stadium and then walked to the parade. And the parade starts in a very residential area. And that's where the main Rose Parade House, where the headquarters is on Orange Grove Boulevard in more of a residential area. The parade lines up in this residential area, and then it heads east up Orange Grove Boulevard. And then you have these big bleacher areas where we were. And then it makes the turn, as everybody called the turn, TV corner, where NBC and ABC are going to be today, and Univision and RFD TV, and all the broadcasters who are covering it.
Which is the theme this year, turning the corner.
Exactly. It is. Isn't that cool? And they have the signs as part of the logo this year. Uh-huh. So you turn the corner, and it's difficult for bands to keep in formation. It's a challenge. In some of these big, larger floats, it's a challenge to get them around that corner. But then you turn onto Colorado Boulevard. And then you head, I guess it would be kind of southeast, maybe. And I know. I'm trying to remember the direction. All I know is actually, you know what? I messed up. So it goes Orange Grove, it heads west because you're headed towards the mountains where the sun sets at night. So it heads west, I guess it goes southwest. So anyway, you make the turn onto Colorado Boulevard, and then then you're actually marching kind of down through the main part of Pasadena. It's a 5.5 mile parade route. And if you ever go out to the Rose Parade, we're going to tell you a little bit how you can do that perhaps next year. If you go to the Rose Parade, if you're just going for the parade, it doesn't really matter a whole lot where you sit. But if you want to go to the parade and the game, you have to be as close to TV corner as you can. Because if you're at the other end of the parade route, you're never going to make it back to the Rose Bowl proper in time for the start of the game. So there's a little helpful hint from folks who have been there. But when there are lots of places you can sit for free, but people get there early to camp out. We paid the ticket fee and got reserved seats. It's just bleacher seats, but it's a great view. Mm-hmm. And Heather's right. When you see these floats up close, that's where the real magic happens. So the floats are being put together. I mean, they start a year before designing, but they start putting the flowers on only less than a week before the parade. And many of the actual individual flowers are in individual vials of water and stuck onto the float to keep the flowers fresh. So talk a little bit about going through these barns, basically the big pole sheds where these floats are being put together. Give folks a sense of what you saw, what you heard, what you smelled as you went through the barns where these floats are being put together.
Yeah, and to see the buckets of flowers, like you said, either the long stem things that are waiting to be cut apart to put on, or how they're putting them together to keep them fresh on the floats, it kind of looks like a puzzle when you dump it out of a box. All the beautiful colors are there, but you have no idea what the end result is going to be.
Right.
I think most people understand that there are volunteers that are going in to work on this. Mm-hmm. So, you know, they have head leaders for each group and each section of the float, but there are these volunteers that are just standing around going, okay, what do I need to do? And people are just handing them, you know, a pallet full of rose petals or a pallet full of carnations or whatever and saying, okay, go over there. Mm-hmm. And so it's not groups of professionals putting these together. These are volunteers. And I'm sure that they're flower enthusiasts that know a little bit maybe, but I just love to see kind of the volunteerism and the cooperation and the willingness and the friendliness of all the people that were working. As we walked through, the people that were working were answering questions from the crowd. And remember, mom got to actually put some, they were letting her kind of snip and cut and, you know, do some of the stuff, which was super cool. She got to, you know, unofficially volunteer to put the floats together. And yeah, the smell is unbelievable, right? All the smells of all the flowers.
I think that's one of the things that just, I remember time after time, whenever I watch it, you know, when we watch it on TV, now when you're not there, you have no idea, unless you've been there, the overpowering smell. And not just when you go through the barn and you're getting up close and watching them put the floats together, but when you're on the parade route. I mean, there are so many flowers and some of these floats are so big that you could actually smell the floral smell as some of these floats are passing by you on the parade route. And it's just amazing.
Yeah. It is. It's incredible. Really cool.
When I went a couple of years ago with our friends, Kurt and Flora C. Kohler and Jason, my youngest godson, we went through there. And of course, our friends, we have the Vi family that lives in California. And so Nelson, our friend's been with us, and Chris Giese and Dahlia and other people have gone with us to these events. But when you're going through, and so 2 years ago when I was there with Kurt and Florcy and Jason, we talked a lot to the Cal Poly students. And that's the only float, you'll see it today, the Cal Poly float is the only one that's done entirely by students. It's designed by students, engineered, of course, Cal Poly is a big engineering school. Animation, where if it waves or if it moves, all that is mechanical. And then all the floral parts, all done by students. And some of these kids are sleeping at the barn two or three nights in a row just to get these floats together in time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that I think probably the most memorable float is the Cal Poly float.
Yeah.
Just because of that idea of these are all students doing this. And incredible design and engineering brains that put all that stuff together.
It is. And you said so well, Heather, all the volunteers, there are so many people that live in the Pasadena or Southern California area that volunteer, that just do it because this is a community event. And of course, the Tournament of Roses gives back so much money to the community, to veterans organizations, to schools. They're involved in the Southern California and Pasadena community. But there are also people that will go out there and volunteer for days or weeks at a time annually just because they want to be a part of this.
Right, yeah. And people plan their vacations and say, we're going to go out and volunteer for this and sign up, and that's their family vacation or whatever. But like I said, it was just a joyous occasion,
right?
Like I would think that would be hugely stressful.
Try
and get that together. I don't know that I could be that joyous for the whole time, but I don't remember seeing anybody rushing around or like, no, don't do that. Right. Or it was just, everybody was happy and, oh yeah, do this. And oh yeah, it was a very happy location. It just, maybe it's the flowers and the smell. It just makes everybody happy.
You're right. But there is a vibe, there's an energy. And when I called the Tournament of Roses last week to get permission to do this today, I kind of thought they'd blow me off, whatever, but no, No, I mean, the director of communications, Candy, her assistant, Nick, they've been fantastic. Everybody associated with the Tournament of Roses are just top-notch, wonderful people. And we hope to convey some of that to you today, talking about the Rose Parade. And we're going to bring you that first hour here on the Todd Allball Show. We invite you to watch along with us on your favorite channel, ABC, NBC, Univision, and RFD TV. We're going to take a break, and we'll come back with more with my lovely co-host for today, Heather Galloy, live from Eau Claire. We'll bring you more of the continuing coverage of the Rose Parade presented by Honda 2023 here on the Todd Allball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. Our live pregame coverage here on the Todd Allball Show, the Civic Media Radio Network, along with Heather Galloy. I am Todd Allball, and our producer and engineer, Aaron Zommers. As we get set, 7 o'clock here, we'll unfortunately bring you the actual start of the parade because we have to take a little news break and do a little business. But when we come back at about 6 after the hour, we'll go right into the parade, and we'll go right through the 11 o'clock hour. A couple of commercial interruptions, of course, here and there. But the idea is for you folks to turn on your TVs, watch along with Heather and I. We'll give you a little bit of insight as folks who have been there personally and help you along the way. Also, want to tell you that there is an opportunity for you to win a trip to Pasadena next year to the Rose Bowl Parade yourself. And the way you could do that is you can go on our social media on Facebook or on our Twitter account. It's the Todd Allball Show on Facebook or Allball Show on Twitter. We have put up there, I believe, Aaron, people can access that link to the Tournament of Roses, and then you upload a photo or a video of you, or I think you just go to the Rose Bowl site as well, or the Rose Parade site, and you can upload a video or a photo of you watching the parade like we're doing right here, and then they're going to pick winners from that, and they're going to then give you a trip out to Pasadena next year.
Yes, and that is posted on the Facebook page for the Todd Allball Show, and in case you don't have Facebook or you just want to go right to the website for any reason, if you go to tournamentofroses.com, that's the website in general, but then tournamentofroses.com/how-do-you-rose-parade. So that's a little bit to type in, so I would recommend just going to Facebook and clicking on the link. It's also linked on Twitter. But yep, that awesome. Is up there.
Nice work, Aaron. Thank you very much. Also have some exciting news, and we're going to give you more details at a later time. But again, as Heather was saying before the break, the wonderful attitude of the folks at the Tournament of Roses, when Candy, the media director, gave us permission to do this today, she said, how about we make it more exciting? So what she did, and hang on to your hats, she has given us 4 tickets, and not just tickets, 4 VIP tickets to sit at the corner, media corner, for the 2024 Rose Parade. And we are going to be giving those away a few weeks down the road, closer to the end of or into football season next year. But we're going to be giving hints throughout the year. We're going to be talking about it. But it's going to be an additional way, not just the contest they're having today through Tournament of Roses that Aaron talked about, but we're going to give our own tickets away to the Rose Parade later on this year here at Civic Media. So thank you very much. Thank you so much to Candy. Thank you so much for the Tournament of Roses Parade folks for giving us that opportunity to give our listeners a chance to experience what Heather and I have experienced as well.
Yeah, that's incredible.
I know, right? I mean, how cool is that?
Wild. But, and Todd, do you remember when we were there and we went to the Tournament of Roses house, which is a lovely little tourism, not tourism, but a restored
colonial, I think, if
it's
I remember.
Beautiful. Right, yeah. Do you remember that you ran into a former college friend who worked there.
Candace McCann, my old classmate from Platteville.
That's not the same Candy you were just talking to.
No, it's a different person. Okay. But yeah, you're right. No, this is Candace McCann was my classmate. But yeah, at the time, Mom was having some trouble walking. And we walked in and we just said, hey, is there any chance there's some kind of accessible parking? And without batting an eye, they gave us basically a handicapped VIP parking pass, and we parked right in front of the Rose Bowl. Like when you look at the Rose Bowl, and you see pictures of it, and you see that kind of lit up rose, and it says in script Rose Bowl. We parked right under that.
I remember that.
And again, it wasn't because we paid anything Candace kind of knew me from college, but she had to ask her supervisor. They're like, oh yeah, absolutely, we'll help them out. So, that's the attitude that folks at the Rose Parade and the Tournament of Roses have. And they're just the nicest, most wonderful people that just want to help anybody who comes and give them the best experience possible.
Absolutely. It is the best experience.
So people are getting excited right now. People are lining up. Everything is set to go. If you're watching the parade at the very beginning, Heather and I probably won't be joining you because we have to do the news at the top of the hour here. But you're going to see this kind of dance and song presentation at the beginning. And Heather, do you have who's doing the performance at the beginning there in your notes?
The opening act is Fitz and the Tantrums.
Of course it is. Aaron, have you heard of Fitz and the Tantrums?
Not even a little bit.
Yeah. So, I mean, God bless the Rose Bowl Parade folks for giving someone a new venue. But what a place to debut.
Yeah. I did go on YouTube and listen to them because I was like, oh, really? I feel like I should at least have an idea. Yeah. They're good. They got a good little beat.
Good little vibe. All right.
Good little vibe. I like it. Yeah.
So that performance takes place right in front of the cameras before the parade actually begins. And then we have the big flyover, Heather.
Yes. This is, oh my gosh, this just makes your heart stop when it goes over. Mm-hmm. And if you've been to NFL games or, you know, bigger venues kind of thing, sometimes you get that experience too. Mm-hmm. But this just feels like they're closer. Because you're not in a big stadium, you're just on the street. And this year, by the way, the Air Force base that they are coming from, did you see where they're from?
Tell us, Heather.
South Dakota.
Get out.
And I'm out.
Where did Heather go to school at?
The Ellsworth Air Force Base in South Dakota. Now, I have to say, it's much further west, like Rapid City West.
Okay.
I was in Sioux Falls for college, so... All right. Which I used to refer to as barely South Dakota, right? It's like just over. Right. But at any rate, they are South Dakota based. So I thought that was pretty cool.
That's super cool. You'll have the performance, and then you'll have the big flyover, the B-2 bomber, and then the parade will actually start and start progressing. And by that time, we'll probably have joined you and be with you, and we can watch it together. So get ready, folks. Tune into ABC, NBC, Univision, or RFD-TV, wherever you would like to watch the parade. And when we come back after the top of the hour, we'll continue our Rose Bowl watch party here on Civic Media. We'll watch the first hour with you. My sister, Heather Galloy, watching it, will give you our perspective of having been to the Rose Parade, having been there and smelled the flowers, and kind of what goes into this. And also, I've got about a minute left, Heather. Very exciting, right? This band from Wisconsin, this unified, combined high school band. How cool is that?
This is so great. And I feel like having that Wisconsin connection with the president of the Tournament of Roses has certainly helped that. But yep. I am so excited for this. It's super awesome.
Yeah, it's a combined, I think it's Merrill, Wausau West, Wausau East. So for our listeners in Wausau Bull Falls Radio, this is for you.
It is. It'll be great.
So we're really looking forward to seeing and hearing those young people perform in Pasadena today. Great opportunity for high school kids from the state of Wisconsin to march in a Rose Bowl Tournament of Roses parade. So all that and more is going to be a great next hour. We invite you to get a cup of coffee, your favorite beverage, put your feet up, dial in the Rose Parade, and we'll be back with you after the top of the hour, and we'll enjoy the 2023 Rose Parade presented by Honda right here live on Civic Media. Thanks for joining us, everybody. Stay tuned. Back after this on the Civic Media Radio Network.